All right, well, let's talk about AirPods.
Well, do you have them?
No, I don't. I mean, obviously I have AirPods, but I do not have AirPods Pro, which I don't like as a name. Isn't this an Apple thing? Don't they always say, like, what is it, iPads?
Yes.
Or something? There's some iPad Pros? Is that what they say?
Well, they've actually avoided crossing this line. It's John Gruber who always puts it that way.
Right.
Pluralizes it the way that you pluralize, like, attorneys general. And Apple in their marketing copy often will avoid it entirely by doing something like iPad Pro devices or something like that.
Yes, right.
But AirPods is the name of a product it's a plural name.
It can't be AirPod Pro. I mean, there's no way.
Right.
It has to be AirPods Pro.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
Of course, everybody says AirPod Pros. Mm-hmm. So what are you going
to
do?
In a text message to me, you jokingly called the normal AirPods, AirPods Air.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I have to figure out a way to make peace with the name AirPods Pro, it's by remembering that AirPods Air doesn't exist for now.
Yeah, it could be worse.
I'm happy about that. But to answer your question, no, I don't have them. I didn't think that I wanted them because I only ever have one AirPod in an ear. Like, that's how I'm doing this podcast right now. I have my left AirPod in and I'm listening to you there. And when I go about my life, I almost always have an AirPod in my ear. It's become like a joke with Christine. I'll be like, oh, I haven't been listening to any audio for 2 hours, but I've had this AirPod in my ear for this entire time because I just forgot that it was there. But when I'm alone, I'll turn podcasts on and even sometimes music. But you've been talking about them, John, and you've been talking about them not in the framing of these things have noise cancellation, but these things are augmented reality devices, and that's how you get me. That's how you get me to buy something. So now I want them. I just don't necessarily have an Apple store in the city that I live in to buy them, and I'm pretty sure like Best Buy and Target and all of those places sold out on day one. So I will be getting them, but I do not yet have them.
Well, let me clarify that I think your method of wearing a single AirPod in one ear is an AR application of AirPods. And the thing I really want to talk about is not necessarily the one product that Apple has released in the past week or two. It's the whole idea of audio as an augmented reality interface. And I think clearly the first generation of AirPods brought that into the world. It was the first product in this category. It doesn't have as much of an interface to the audio layer of reality as the AirPods Pro have, but it does create that instant on audio input and output that you're describing. And so, like, what is that if not a way to augment your physical reality with an audio layer? You know, if you get a call and it goes off on your watch and you press one button, you're talking to that person because you've got an AirPod in your ear, and you know no one else has to hear that side of the conversation. You know, I feel like that was actually step one of Apple's audio AR game.
Totally.
But what they've added with AirPods Pro is two modes that are a user interface to the audio environment that allow you to filter it. One is an active noise canceling mode, and one is using the same hardware, a mode called transparency mode, which uses the same microphones that are used to cancel out ambient noise to pipe in what seems like a sort of intelligently filtered version of the ambient noise. Like, it's not just, you don't just hear the normal stuff going on around you exactly the way you would hear it otherwise. You hear kind of the important details. So you can hear people passing you or cars coming or whatever, or people talking to you. And it pipes in that information into the audio that you're listening to so that you can mix them together. And neither of these modes are things that Apple invented. There are other headphones that do, obviously, noise canceling, but there are high-end noise canceling headphones that have an equivalent to transparency mode too. But of course, the way that Apple implemented them is like the perfect intuitive way that uses controls that are familiar to anyone who's using Apple stuff. And suddenly you've got these new filters for reality through your ears.
So what's the difference between me with my normal AirPods listening to a podcast in a crowded area and you with AirPods Pro listening to a podcast with transparency mode on.
The most obvious way to describe it is just that the sound quality is better. Because regular AirPods are not all the way into your ear canal, they're just sort of blocking the sound from your environment a little and adding in the audio a little, and they're mixing together in a way that's sort of accidental that the hardware has no control over. Whereas AirPods Pro are in your ear canal. They have sort of perfect access to piping sound in from whatever the audio source is, and they can blend that audio and adjust the volume of that audio in combination with what's coming in from outside. The simple way of saying that is just to say that it sounds better, but I think that the dynamic range of it is really important. Like when you're in a loud environment, it doesn't necessarily make what you're hearing much louder than it would be. Like, whereas with the regular AirPods, it's just like more sound coming into your ears. This automatically imposes some control over what's coming in. So it's not as loud. You don't have to turn the volume up as high. But I think the much more mysterious and interesting thing about it is that it's clearer somehow. And I, you know, we don't have any details about what Apple's transparency mode filter algorithm is actually doing. But, you know, if I had to guess based on sort of how I know Apple thinks about things like this, it's probably filtering for human vocal range and like a few other like high and low frequency sounds that, you know, would indicate like a car coming or something, you know, like, I bet that they kind of optimized for the stuff that you actually want to hear and filter out a lot of noise still. And it also probably does some kind of pass filter with like what you're listening to. So it filters out sounds or blends together sounds from the environment that would be messing with what you're listening to otherwise. So the best I can do is to say that it sounds clearer. And you know, you don't miss as many words and you don't have to crank it up as high. It has this effect, this almost hallucinatory effect of sounding like the audio that you're piping into your AirPods is part of your perceptual environment. It doesn't sound like you can't like hear it coming from like a specific direction or source the way you can, I think, with regular AirPods. It really changes the way that your brain perceives it, I think. And it's like really hard to explain why that's better, but when you switch back and forth, you can tell that it is. And I think that the loudness of the source is actually probably the most important part of the benefit. I mean, like now health, like hearing health is part of the operating system now.
Right.
You know, it tells you how loud your headphones were and you want them to be lower, and these allow you to listen much lower and still hear everything perfectly.
I certainly am like bad at that. My AirPods are often at full blast. Everything is often at full blast. And I think it is because I'm fighting whatever is surrounding me. That just is kind of the way you have to do it.
Yeah, it looks to me most of the time like I'm riding at about 50% volume.
Yeah, that's definitely different than me. And I mean, I imagine that would be the case for even like an airplane, right? I mean, I was on an airplane recently and you're cranking your AirPods up as loud as you can get them to get over all of the ambient noise around you.
Yeah, I bet that AirPods Pro will require like 75% volume in that situation. But you can't even hear anything on normal AirPods unless it's at 100%.
Yes, exactly. To go back to your initial, like the first AirPods were the first foray into audio AR for Apple thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely believe that. And that's why I was enamored with AirPods from the beginning. I have this super vivid memory of when AirPods were announced. I was in France about to take a night train from Paris to Venice, which was just in its own right, kind of a cool sentence to say. But I had to take this night train, and you know, like when you're traveling, you're just always in tight quarters and you're always like having to do that mental checklist of the 15 things that you need to like get through that travel moment.
Yeah.
And I believe I had a pair of wired headphones at that moment. And it just was the thing that I kept forgetting, or I kept losing, or it kept being the most annoying thing. Oh, and it was, of course, what phone was the non-headphone jack phone?
That was the 7, wasn't it?
It was after phones lost their headphone jack. And I was in these moments where I'd be traveling and I would want both. I would want to be able to charge my phone and listen to music at the same time. And it was just impossible without having to deal with some crazy Bluetooth headphones where you'd have to go into settings and navigate and blah, blah, blah. And I could just perfectly picture life being better with AirPods. Like, that's how it felt to me, you know, was, oh, if I have these right now, I like fantasized about what it would be like if I would have had AirPods in that moment. And I can't think of any other tech in recent history that made me feel that way. I haven't had a phone and thought, oh man, if only I had the new phone right now, or a laptop or a video game system or anything. It was AirPods that made me feel that way, because I could think about how nice it would be to be able to instantly be able to listen to a podcast or music or a white noise machine. Mm-hmm. It's really awesome to be able to listen to music or a podcast at any time, but it's a superpower to be able to drown out your environment and like tune in to the thing that you're trying to accomplish or do or rest. And that is, to me, such an augmentation of the way that I would have done things otherwise, which is basically never had headphones because they were too cumbersome to use. And I haven't had a day where I haven't used AirPods since they've come out.
Noise generator apps is a huge deal for me. I've had one that I've used as long as, I mean, like I had a web one that I used on my Mac before I even had a phone. Like it's something that I feel like is a human right. And, you know, like we live in such noisy environments that like the best we can do sometimes is to block it out with something that's like calmer and, or, you know, something we have control over. So I've long been into that. It's been an app that's, you know, through the various ones I've used, there's been a noise app on the front screen of my phone all along. There is right now. We've got a new wonderful one that we should clearly shout out by name, which is Dark Noise by Charlie Chapman.
It's really good.
And I'm using that every day. The one that I was using before is called My Noise. I've probably talked about it here before. It has tons of customization and tons of EQ bands, and you sort of dial in your own custom perfect noise. And I did have a mode for that was like a certain like level of brown noise cranked up all the way that I saved under the name Airplane Shield. And and it was like a setting that I could use on a plane with AirPods to block out the ambient noise of being on a plane. But of course it was like unbelievably loud. And so, you know, but it was what I had to do, you know. It was better than nothing. So
also that app was ugly.
Yeah, that app sucked. I mean, it's great, but it's not nice to use. Whereas Dark Noise has just like this list of great noises that he's handpicked. And you know, they are what they are, and you can add them to a favorite list, and they're all, you know, accessible by Siri and everything. So, you know, it's just a big button that puts the noise on.
My favorite thing is that you can set it so that if you just open the app, sound starts playing.
Yeah.
Which I think is amazing. It makes it as like effortless as possible to just start doing the thing, which I really appreciate.
And like clearly Apple agrees that this category is important, because this year they've added it as a capability of Siri itself, so that you can now call up ambient sounds on Siri, and they've got the, you know, kind of the basics. They've got like rain, ocean, white noise, a few others. Dark Noise has one that I need to have, which is Starship Engine Rumble, which was like a noise category that was made famous on YouTube. Somebody just sampled the ambient sound of the Enterprise from Star Trek The Next Generation, the sort of rumbling engine sound that you could hear in every scene. That's just the background of being on the ship. And they made like a 24-hour long YouTube video of it that had millions and millions and millions of plays. So I'm really grateful to Charlie for putting that in the app. And that's what I use if I'm, you know, if I'm really, really trying to concentrate.
Wait, why do you use that one? I need to know. Wait. We have to talk about that.
It's actually a combination of being a nerd who likes spaceships, and it's the closest sound that I've ever found to the rumbling sound of the portal at Burning Man. That is sort of like my spiritual home that I've written about online many times. That is a much more low tech environment. It's a bass amp with a string, like a single bass string over a huge pickup, tuned so low that it's feeding back from the amp and causing the whole structure to rumble. And the structure is made of wood, so it like rattles and has all these other like charming qualities to it, but it's basically this low rumble, like a big cat purring all around you. And that sound sort of just became like a form of almost automatic meditation for me. And so this sound sort of, you know, resembles that. And it works way better on huge speakers, or actually on HomePods. It sounds amazing. But even with these AirPods, the AirPods Pro have enough bass response to make that a really satisfying sound.
Interesting.
That's my main one. But I also go, I go to, like, we sleep with a rain sound.
Yeah.
I use the actual Siri ambient sounds, rain sound, on the HomePod in the baby's room. You know, when we put her to bed, we turn that rain sound on from Siri, and it's great. And, you know, that that sort of drumming rain, or, you know, flowing water, those are always nice too.
Have you ever fallen asleep with AirPods in?
No, I don't think so. Hmm. Does it happen to you often?
Oh yeah, absolutely it happens. I mean, it happens on planes, to be sure.
Oh yeah.
But also, my wife and I typically am an early riser, early sleeper, and my wife is a late riser, late sleeper. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll be watching TV at night and I'll just need to crash. And I'll often put an AirPod in, not even necessarily because of the TV noise, but because I was watching something on my own, or, you know, wanting to read and just wanting some white noise while I read. And I'll just pass out with it in my ear. Again, typically only one, which I know sounds weird, but if you sleep on your side, uh-huh. I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, one ear is covered by the pillow and the other AirPod is covering the ear that's actually receiving anything from the outside world. And I have noticed, this is definitely more anecdotal, but I have noticed that I've seen many people on Twitter, when I was looking up like the initial results of how people were feeling about AirPods Pro, people were saying, how does it feel to sleep with? Like, that was a question people had a lot. Huh. And I would be very curious to know how often people are using AirPods to sleep, which to me makes total sense. I mean, you know, trying to fall asleep in any position, even an airplane, with headphones in your ears that are wired, is just annoying because you're going to pull them out accidentally. But the worst thing that can ever happen when you have AirPods in your ear and you fall asleep is it just like falls out in bed next to you, you know?
Yeah.
There's really not too much harm done there.
Or, God forbid, falls onto the floor of a plane.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but, it, well, but, yeah, if you're comfortable enough on the airplane that you've like found a resting position where your AirPod falls off, I mean, that's like a first world problem right there. Usually you're going to be sitting up or face flat on the serving tray in front of you or something like that.
That's true. It'll just be on the tray.
Right.
I'm going to bet, I haven't tried, but I bet that it's way more comfortable. The stem is a lot shorter. It's like it barely sticks out. And it also doesn't have the sort of wiggle room that the first gen AirPods design has. Like, you can sort of wiggle the first AirPods around a lot without them coming out. That's why some people wear them correctly with the stem flush against your face, and other people have them sticking out in crazy directions because they don't realize that they're supposed to do that without, in order to not look like a complete monster. But the way, because the AirPods Pro go into your ear canal, but it's not just because of that. It's also because of sort of the angle that the stem is designed at. There's really only one way to put them in, and it really very, very barely sticks out. So I bet you could lie down on the side that you have them in without them touching the pillow. Mm. I kind of want to try it because the idea of using actual sleep sounds in your ears to sleep like that certainly appeals to me. And I also have lots of sounds created for that purpose, both like music. Like, I have several albums. Moby created some sleep music. And then there's another one. It's like more of like a self-serious kind of classical composer.
You're talking about Max Richter?
Max Richter, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great album.
So I have that saved too. Then there's also the Jeff Bridges sleep tapes, which I believe was a Squarespace production. And that's not like ambient sound, but it is this very dreamy thing that he created, and I bet you could sleep to it, or he could at least put you to sleep. And then the wonderful post-rock Icelandic band Sigur Rós has an album called Liminal something, and or maybe it's like a category of albums, and Liminal, this is the sleep subtitle one. It's under sleep on the streaming services, and so I've like got all these saved. I've never actually used them before. Right. And I don't think Ariel would go for those. So I should probably try with the AirPods.
An example of me doing that is, I think I mentioned it. I'm pretty positive I did that. I got really into like YouTube gaming live streamers, or at least one singular one, when I was having trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a perfect example of how I used AirPods for sleeping, because no way would Christine be okay with some dude playing the video game Spelunky for 2 hours on our TV as she tries to fall asleep at night. But that, it's like, there are things that for me are very soothing just because of the sort of repetitive nature of them. And it's like, I actually want someone to be doing something and talking about it and me not having to give it my full attention. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, yeah, that's the best mode for that.
Yeah,
I can't actually imagine a scenario where I wouldn't want that with AirPods. Like, I'm never going to play that on a television or a computer or anything else. I really only want it piped into my ear for a short period of time before bed.
Hi, Internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together. There's another category of sound, of sound apps that you and I have been into for a long time, of generative sound, like algorithmically generated sound.
Yes.
That it really kind of pushes this AR concept to its like limit right now. And the app, there have been apps for this for a long time. The one that we've loved for many years is called Chicago Avenue Moon, which is this music project that has these beautiful loops of this ensemble, like strings and brass instruments. And it's loaded into an app that uses your location data to generate different phrases of, and there's kind of like background sounds in it too, and it mixes these things all together and it generates this soundtrack as you're walking around, and it changes as you move.
Does it factor in speed? I have a memory that it did, but maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, it has these four variables that it shows you. Well, it clearly changes as you move, but the more you move, the more it changes. And if it's changing a lot, it definitely like intensifies too. It doesn't just change. And it's all using GPS data. So it's all about your position. But it's also different in different places, inherently different in different places, because it uses the coordinates as the sort of source. And that app is kind of an old app, but it still runs beautifully. It's made by the guy, like the developer of it is the guy who makes the wonderful app Deliveries, that, you know, like is like the best long standing package tracker for Mac and iOS. He was this contract developer of this app, which was like a project of some music people. And I love that app. And I love its particular soundscape because it just sort of feels very romantic and evocative. And it's great for like walking around with your hands in your pockets, thinking about stuff, which is like my number one headphones activity. It has been since the iPod days, since the Walkman days, honestly. Like, that's just something that I've always done. But last week, you got me to try out an app that I've known about for a while, but I don't know. I guess like the subscription to it sort of put me off enough to never actually read the description and figure out that it was exactly what I was looking for all this time, which is an app called Endel, which takes this to a much deeper level of personalization. Honestly, I don't like the sounds as much as I do in Chicago Avenue Moon, but they're still nice, and there's different modes for like relaxing, for focusing while stationary, and for on the move also. And there's a sleep mode, which is something I haven't tried, which is what jogged my memory to talk about this. So with these four modes, it incorporates your location data. It incorporates the weather at your location for the amount of natural light that's available, because the circadian rhythm is what it's based on. So it's sort of like the time of day is the major factor, but also like how much natural light you're getting affects it. But then it uses your, not only your motion data, but it uses your heart rate data from the Apple Watch to adjust based on like your level of exertion. And it's really incredible how like intimate it feels. And it just sort of works as this layer of grounding, centering music. And with AirPods Pro, like I can have this like floating in my, like in the middle of my awareness with stuff going on all around me, and I'm not separated from it. And like, if somebody says something to me, I hear them and I can answer them. But like, I have this music running that is like keeping me sane. And like, the other day I was testing like the on the move mode for the first time. So I was on this long walk, and I had it on transparency mode because that's the safe thing to do. And I was walking, I saw a fire truck coming, and that was always like something that I hated when I was on one of these walks, because it's like the most annoying, loudest, deafening sound in the world. It's like the like guaranteed to destroy like the whole sonic environment for like 30 seconds with one piercing second of it actually passing you, where it's like ear splitting and painful. So I just sort of got ready as it was coming. I had this Endel sound playing in my ears, and I reached up and I squeezed the tip of the AirPod and switched it to noise canceling. And suddenly the sound of the fire truck went away, and it was just the music that I was trying to listen to. And the fire truck went by, and I definitely heard it, but like I could still hear my music over it. And it was gone, and I switched back, and it like completely protected me from this deafening noise. Wow. And that was the moment when I realized how important this is going to be going forward. Like, we're already in a world where like the sound environment is like an assault on our senses. We're heading into a world where like increasingly virtual sounds and visuals will be sort of weighing down on us, like attacking us from all directions if we're not careful. But like the hardware that we carry on us, that we have in our ears and all over our eyes soon enough, can also be these like protective amulets against what's coming in. And like, you know, there's some kind of dark implications of that if you think about it too long, you know, like blocking people, very Black Mirror, like will people be able to just like completely erase other people from their sensory environments? You know, I hope that we're able as a species to kind of converge on, you know, pro social standards for this sort of thing. But like, there's no reason that a human being should ever have to hear a jackhammer, you know, or a lawnmower. And I have a way to protect myself from that now, or a fire truck.
Not to be the bad person in this conversation, but I'm kind of fine with the ability for these things to also protect us against weird human interactions too. I mean,
yeah, I kind of am too.
I spent a lot of time recently traveling, and you know, being in environments where I have AirPods in my ears, and that means that like people in shops can't try to get me to come into their shop and buy some weird thing while I'm on vacation, or there are these things that almost act as indications that you're just not really interested in the sales pitch. And I think that's great. On the flip side of that, I think that AirPods are an amazing way for people who have to have those jobs to actually survive the day.
Yeah.
I was talking to you about this when I was traveling, but the amount of people that I saw that were like in wait staff positions or working at hotels or doing security jobs or whatever that had AirPods in their ears was remarkable to me. Like, it was a lot. And I was traveling in a lot of different places, including third world countries, but people had these AirPods in. And I feel like that's so cool that they don't have to have their entire day doing some dumb menial task where they have to stand there waiting for people to come up to them, but they can actually like do something. They can listen to something or play music at the very least, or even have a conversation on an AirPod, where, you know, the stigma for having a phone while you're at work is for some reason bad, which I honestly disagree with personally. But I think that AirPods are fine because you still look active and you're still like ready to do whatever somebody that's walking up to you wants wants you to do. So I don't know. I think that the indications that an AirPod in your ear might, you know, put off in the world are actually already normalized and on the whole, like, good for everybody.
I agree. I think it is better than a phone. And this is a paradigm we've talked about a lot, but you know, the promise of the AR hardware era is sort of that it returns us to a world of like interacting naturally in three-dimensional space with stuff instead of focusing all of our attention into a small black rectangle, right, which I believe is the title of the episode where we first talked about this, which was probably a year ago. But the AirPods have already become this much more subtle indication. You know, like if I walked up to a cash register and someone was looking at their phone, I would be put off by that. Even I would be put off by that, you know? Whereas like if they've got an AirPod in their ear, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and assume they're paying attention to me. You know, it's like up to them to sort of like subtly use their wrist, their watch, you know, to like pause what they're listening to or something.
Yeah.
Like that's fine. And like the promise of wearables and augmented reality is all about moving us back out into the physical world with all of the layers of information that we've gained in this sort of intermediate black rectangle era. And you know, it's really cool that there's already proving to be mass adoption of this, because I feel like the fact that AirPods have already been segmented in price is a really strong sign for how much adoption there's going to be of these technologies. And like I don't think that AirPods Pro, I don't think it's like a class distinction between like regular AirPods and AirPods Pro. Like obviously maybe in some coarse socioeconomic sense it is, but like, I don't like feel bad for people who don't have transparency mode, you know, like they're still having this like extremely futuristic experience. And I want everybody to have them. And you know, it's hopefully like going along with that adoption, there's going to be a corresponding culture of like using audio in more personal and healthy and protective ways. I mean, I obviously music, this ubiquitous headphones in your ears all the time thing is going to be great for music listening. Like it already is. Streaming music is taking off in a huge way. It's saving the music industry, or I guess maybe I should say it's taking over the music industry. You know, that's good enough in most cases. Like there are lots of cases in which like I could just put on music and I wouldn't have to use some fancy sound generator app that uses my heartbeat and still get the same effect. But I hope that the possibility of listening to something all the time really does open people's minds up to the possibilities of what kinds of sonic environment we could be living in, or they could be creating for themselves, because I think it's an area of human experience that the 20th century just kind of neglected and just sort of ignored our needs in favor of the needs of industry. And now we are taking control back of that medium. Mm. And like, fortunately, I mean, you know, the news there's today, as we record this, there's news of what sounds like a very significant meeting at Apple HQ about the roadmap for AR eyewear that the company is on, a kind of unprecedentedly big meeting for a product that's still years out. And it's only a couple of years out, but a big number of people at Apple were briefed on sort of what's happening, and managers even used the words "replace the iPhone" in like a sort of 10-year time frame. But in the meantime, like AirPods are already going crazy. Like the earnings reporting from Q4, fiscal Q4, which ends in the third quarter of the actual year, that like wearables were already going bonkers. It's at the point where wearables and services combined are like offsetting the slowdown in smartphone sales for Apple. And like that was before AirPods Pro launched, and AirPods Pro are like almost twice as expensive as the low end AirPods product. So like revenue from wearables is going to be crazy this year. But that's just an indication of like the first wave of demand in this. And like, there's going to be a few years now where like truly wireless earbuds are going to become absolutely ubiquitous. And like other companies have come out with them this year. They're all follow-on products to AirPods. But I think everybody kind of agrees, except for, you know, people inside of those companies, that no one can really compete with the level of like hardware integration that these have, because Bluetooth headphones have been around for a really long time, but they've never been easy to use until these. And like, hopefully what that means is that every company is going to become much better at pairing and all the stuff that's required to sort of make these devices talk to each other. And this seamless experience that we're getting now with AirPods will become ubiquitous. Because I still see people running with phones strapped to their wrist with earbuds with wires coming out of their ears and attached to the phone. And like, I'm so worried about them. You know, like I'm worried about their phone. I'm worried about them catching on a tree. And like, you know, I don't want to think about it. But the bend in the curve is already here. Like Apple's revenue is the leading indicator of like, this is happening to the world now. And, you know, the debate about whether Apple should have removed the headphone jack is going to look quaint soon.
I know.
And like, we were already ready for that when it happened, you know. But a lot of people weren't. And, you know, that, like you were saying, like you saw this product coming when that happened. Like the thing that I don't think people see coming is that the phone's going away too. Mm-hmm. That like, I can go out. I mean, that app Endle has an Apple Watch app. Like I can use that algorithmically generated noise thing that like follows like my location and my vital signs and stuff with my watch without my phone. I haven't done that yet, but I'm like, the number of things I need my phone for in the world is like really dwindling. Of course, photography is the big one. I mean, I think that's actually going to be the really telling thing about whatever this headset is that Apple's working on. People are assuming, I think because Snapchat's head or, you know, whatever spectacles are basically a camera product. People, and Google Glass was so famously just like this privacy invading camera on your face that you were wearing everywhere. I think people are assuming, just because it's Apple and Apple makes cameras, that these glasses are going to have big cameras on them. But I'm not sure that's true. And the statement made by these managers that was quoted in this article in The Information, that it's going to take a decade for the iPhone to be replaced, I think that's the indication. Like that's not, they're not mm-hmm. just talking about like radios here. They're not talking about radios and batteries. I think what they mean is like the iPhone 11 Pro is kind of the indication that like the iPhone is a camera with a phone connected to it now, as far as Apple is concerned. And like that is going to be the reason you keep this thing in your pocket through this transition for a long time. And I think that they're gonna address the sort of privacy concerns of like everyone's eyes recording all the time by just not doing that in the first few generations.
Right. Until everyone has the glasses, and it would be weird not to.
Yeah.
When it has the camera.
Yeah. And I hope that's true, because I don't think that they're going to be able to mount cameras anywhere close to as good on your face for a long time. And the sort of skeuomorphic action of holding up a thing and taking a picture with it with your hands is like a known, understood gesture. And I don't think they have to mess with that in order to bring that AR layer to life. Now, the sensors on it are clearly going to scan the world around you, and they're going to use that to affect what's being displayed to you. And they may even be able to use that. I'm sure they will be able to use that to send information about your environment to other people. You know, it may even be the case that you'll be able to sort of stream visual data from your glasses in some way. But I'm betting they're going to do that with like radar and laser scanning of the environment. And it's going to be like more about the shape and the place. And, you know, maybe they'll map it onto maps so that they can use look around. People can see where you are using look around. Mm. You know, you can be the one looking around, but like they can do that without cameras. And there's so much they can do without actually having to record. You know, it's interesting that, to go back to AirPods and audio, like these do have microphones on them, but they are really little, really close microphones that you can't even, like, even with the first generation AirPods, like, the bleed noise from when someone's on a call on AirPods is, like, way better than even a phone mic, don't you think? Like, do you agree that, like, if someone's on AirPods in a kind of loud environment and they're on a call, you can still hear them really well?
Totally.
That's such the right use case for a microphone on these things. There's, like, I've never heard anybody express any kinds of privacy concerns about AirPods, whereas, like, phones, like, they're so obvious that you know that they are capable of recording. But, like, you know, one telling use case that Apple has developed for AirPods and for the iPhone that that sort of explain where the microphone fits in is this I can't remember what it's called, the mode where you can use your phone as an amplifier to your AirPods. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, are you talking about, like, the hearing aid mode?
Yeah, it's like an accessibility mode where if you're in a loud restaurant and you can't hear the people at the table really well, you can put your phone down on the table and the phone microphone will amplify whatever they're saying to your AirPods in real time. And, like, that is augmented reality straight up, you know, like that is enhancing the environment in a way that, like, the computer makes itself an extension of you and extends the environment, your perceptual environment outwards. You know, that is the kind of stuff that they're making possible just because of this really tight integration. And, like, they're being so thoughtful, I feel like, about where they put the sensors and where they put the speakers and, you know, like, where the input and output of all this stuff is. Cause it's not this, like, panopticon where everything is recorded and scanned and, like, you can access all of it.
Hello, internet friends. It's Drew. And I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read, tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of four seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have six. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key.
Have we ever talked about memory and, like, recording, like my sort of dream app of, like, being able to rewind in a conversation that you're having?
Well, we talked recently about the fact that that's, like, the one bummer is now we're doing this amazing job capturing all the visuals, but we're not doing a very good job of capturing all the audio.
Right. Obviously, like, the reason this doesn't exist, I think, is because of privacy concerns that, you know, the use case that I'm talking about here, and this is something I've had many friends, you know, I've sat around in the Bay Area with many friends dreaming of this technology. The use case is, like, you find yourself in a fascinating conversation and you realize that you want to remember it, or you want to remember what you talked about. You want to be able to sort of search backwards for specific things that you talked about and find them and then hit play and replay the audio. And, you know, we have the technology to record high fidelity audio and to isolate voices from it. We have the technology to transcribe text from audio, at least in a okay, good way. I mean, Google, it sounds like, has kind of leapfrogged Apple on this because their new Pixel 4 has this built into its voice recorder app because it's Google and they can do anything with AI. You know, Apple will hopefully get there. But the obvious concern is, like, who would want to be recorded all the time? And so, you know, the first thing you come up with is, well, it only should keep an hour of data. And if you don't save something in that hour, it goes away forever. And so you have to remember to go save it if you care about this conversation. Or, you know, you go in and press record and it then starts saving from an hour ago. Or whatever.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
You know, like, there's ways to do it. Apple hasn't made memory into part of its augmented reality experience yet. You know, like, they're not creating that expectation. They're creating an expectation of about the here and now, and that's kind of all they're doing. And for anything that involves recording, you have to take out your phone. And it wouldn't surprise me to learn, though I have no idea, that like there are designers at Apple thinking about exactly this problem in all of its hardware products of how do we push this forward and increase the spectrum of augmented reality experiences through wearable hardware without crossing the line into the world of like violating people's boundaries. It's a natural extension of their sort of typical privacy spiel with just like user data. You know, like they don't want, you know, they do use facial recognition in the Photos app, but they aren't even able to know what your phone's facial recognition data says.
Right.
You know, like that's Apple doesn't want any of that. And so, you know, the idea that you would record your whole conversation, like they've left that feature as a feature of the device that everyone recognizes as a recording device, even though we have these microphones in our ears all the time. And like that's an expectation that they just don't want to violate. And I think that it makes sense that, like, you know, again, I have no idea, but it wouldn't surprise me to learn that they created this position explicitly because Google came out with the first head-mounted AR display in 2012, right? That was when the developer edition of that was when I was at Google I.O. and they jumped out of airplanes with the Google Glass on their face and came into the arena. Like, 2012, like, that was 7 years ago. And the world was just not ready for, like, dudes to walk into bars with cameras on their faces in 2012. And the entire tech universe was just alive with jokes about how out of touch and clueless that was. And, you know, for Apple to not enter a category that a competitor entered in hardware 7 years later, like that to me demonstrates enormous restraint. And I think that a lot of the consideration has to be like, what is normal and what is beyond the pale? Like what can people possibly tolerate? And so far, given the way that AirPods feel, AirPods Pro in particular, feel to me of just being so humane and so gentle and so enhancing of my humanity, combined with Apple Watch too. Like Apple Watch, Cook often calls it the most intimate device or personal device. I think personal, most personal device I've ever made. For a thing that records your heartbeat all the time, like it sure does not feel like a creepy device. And I don't think you can overstate how important that is to the drive to make this part of the world that we live in.
Obviously, the comparison between Google Glass and whatever Apple will eventually do in the AR space with a glasses type device is like completely incomparable, right? I mean, it will look nothing like Google Glasses whenever Apple creates their thing. The thing that I feel like is a even better example is, I think, Microsoft's efforts in AR. I could be wrong. I can't remember. They are, of course, the ones that have made the HoloLens, which is a very good augmented reality headset. It's great. I've used it. I think it's really remarkable. It just would not be something you would ever wear outdoors, and it's not intended to be. It's intended to be a home device or a working device. But I also feel like I remember that they did like a bunch of audio-guided tours. Like, I don't remember if that's them or not. I could be wrong. I know a major competitor to Apple did a bunch of guided audio tours of like museums and different things and different spaces. And to me, that's an even more interesting comparison between like Apple's vision for AR and other people like Microsoft or Google, which is Apple's is just weirdly, deeply, deeply intimate and personal. I mean, it's true. Like, they don't have any type of real prescription for how to use the stuff. I've never once put in AirPods and thought, oh, they didn't like think about it for this, you know? It's not like, oh, it's only intended to be used for this and to be used for this, that, or the other. And that's honestly the reason why I wasn't interested in AirPods Pro, was because it felt like the main selling point from a marketing perspective was noise canceling, which I just don't care about. But if they would have sold them to me as, We've made them more comfortable. The microphone is better. You can get rid of the environment if you want to. We actually mix the environment in all the time, and now they fit in between your head and a pillow. Like, I don't know. I probably would have bought them day one. There's just this method of Apple's augmented reality, like vision, which to me feels like make the thing that everybody will find reason to use. Where like Microsoft, if that is the person behind those guided tours, said, oh, well, we should do augmented audio for a museum space, which like a lot of people will never experience, you know? And with Google and Google Glass, it was like, be a VC bro. I mean, like, I couldn't imagine my wife wearing a pair of Google Glass. And I don't even mean that in the like distinct version that came out. I mean, like, in the abstract, if I think about if Google Glass would have been successful and they would have made 7 years worth of more, there's no way that whatever they would have come up with would be something that my wife would wear. But I'm going to imagine that the augmented reality that they create for the head, for the glasses, is going to be something that works for everybody, just like AirPods. And in my flights in recent days, I've had my pair of AirPods on, and guess who's had the other pair? Christine, you know? She's wearing her own and doing her own thing. And the way that we're using them is actually radically different. I don't think that she would ever sleep with them in, and I don't think that she would often use them in the spaces that I do, like the gym. She actually doesn't use them there. But she uses them in spaces that I wouldn't. And there's something really remarkable about these devices that lets you augment the world in the exact precise way that you desire to see it augmented. And like, that's the promise of Apple's AR devices.
What we learned from the meeting is that there are two devices coming, one before the other. And the second one is the one that's more like thin, sleek glasses like we've been dreaming of. That before that, in 2023, those are coming out. In 2022, something bigger, something more like goggles or something. It was compared to the Oculus Quest, which is like clearly a VR gaming rig, right? Like, it's not, that isn't, doesn't sound like something you would wear out into the world. Like, that's coming first. And you know, I can't imagine yet what Apple's use case for that is. But I think of something our internet friend Drew Brennig said about this product. He was like, if all the first generation Apple AR headset does, actually no, what he said was, if I were the product manager for the first generation AR headset from Apple, I would only sell it. I would only demo it and sell it, replacing use cases for the Mac and the iPhone, where like your desktop extends out wider than your screen, or like your list of emails like goes all the way to the floor or something, or you know, like the map that you're looking at extends out like 2 feet in either direction, even though you're holding the iPhone in your hand. Concentrating on that, on use cases that people are already kind of high tech in, and starting there, and then expanding into ever more subtle places. Like, if we're still years away from something that's light enough to wear like glasses that has like a high resolution display in it, to get there in the meantime by having like a bigger thing that you put on your desk and use like with your Mac, you know, like, they're not going to sell a ton of those, but I bet you they're going to sell some. And like, people are going to get like, oh, even though my Mac screen is only 12 inches across, like, now I can use my entire desk to like arrange everything. You know, I don't have to buy a screen. It'd probably be the same price as a monitor. And like, you know, or maybe they'll manage to make it less expensive, and then like, this is the clear choice. And then gradually expand outwards into other ways people haven't started using computers yet. The things that people do with their computers, even if they don't think of themselves as techie people or early adopters, everybody who has these devices does some things that I think would be surprisingly advanced if you explained it to them, like, you know, before they got the thing. You know, like, if you could go back in time and say, like, in 2 years, you're going to reply to email using your voice instead of your, you know, fingers on a keyboard. Like, people have taken to stuff like that in ways that they may not even realize is so cool. And I think that one thing that's really amazing about how AirPods has rolled out is that people already were listening to tons and tons of stuff, you know, like they already had something to do with it. Even though it was like a magical thing like no one had ever seen before, like it still resembled in some superficial way the little earbuds with the wires coming out that they were used to. And, you know, like it's the same point I was making before, but like there is a way to lead people into this world by doing things that are familiar to them instead of just like literally dropping them out of the sky like Google did, as though they were something invented in outer space that doesn't make sense on Earth. And I don't think that people need that, because I think that they already have a surprisingly high tolerance for magic in their lives. And it's just going to get higher and higher as the stuff gets more magical.